Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, this is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and today's episode is called Manifold Blessings. Now, if you prefer to read this, you can do so at Study, Grow, Know blog under the title Manifold Blessings, and here at sermonaudio.com/study-grow-know, you can view the transcript PDF, and you can read it there as well. And as always, I've got links in the transcript to support some of the comments I've made in this particular episode. So let's get to it. Manifold blessings. You know, this past weekend, we were fortunate enough to enjoy the fellowship of many family and friends in our home. Now, I know that's kind of verboten for many, but not for us. It was the occasion of our daughter-in-law's shower and the celebration of two little boys who just turned two, our grandson and our great nephew. I mean, it was just such a blessing. It's really difficult to fully describe. We are living in a time, a day and age, when not only fascism has reared its ugly head, intending to basically dismiss our rights and enslave us to the fear of what might happen if we actually enjoy in-person fellowship with others. But beyond that, we are actually spinning as a society headlong into the morass of immoral ugliness, ungodliness that occurs when people lose all sense of right and wrong in their abandonment of God and His morality. Romans 1. We're seeing that. I mean, it is absolutely growing throughout society. People who understand what's going on realize that history is merely repeating itself. The same thing occurred at various times throughout history, whether it was the French or the Bolshevik revolutions or the rise of just about any fascist dictatorship. The goal then, as now, was to keep people apart in order to break spirits and create a deep sense of aloneness. Certainly the powers that be do not want people to enjoy the fellowship of in-person gatherings. They'd rather us live in constant fear that we may contract the dreaded coronavirus. And yes, of course, it can kill. It has killed, as far as we know. But they want us to live in constant fear of this. Fear enslaves, and it kills the spirit. Is that what God wants? Even though CV19 infections are down by 77% and herd immunity has increased to 55% throughout society, and not primarily, by the way, due to vaccinations, and this is all according to a Wall Street Journal recently, we're still told that we must continue to show social distance, wear masks, and just basically obey whatever directives are issued from the government pulpit. The latest push is to get everyone vaccinated. And just as an example, in Texas, under the new Save Our Seniors vaccination program, 1,100 National Guard are going door to door to bring the vaccine to elderly shut-ins. I mean, this begs the question, though, that if they are actually shut in and they do not go out, how large is the actual threat to those folks? But this past weekend at our home, we had roughly 20 people over, and not one person was terrified of the possibility of getting some illness. Even those who said, oh, I've taken the vaccination, or I'm getting my second vaccination shot this week, no one was afraid. No one. At one point during the weekend, I began to realize just exactly what the government has taken away from us as a society. They have forcefully insisted continually that we need to become immersed in solitude because of the risk of being with other people. It's just simply too great. They're constantly reminding us that we must wash our hands, wear masks, and social distance all in order to keep others safe. Yesterday, at the grocery store, I heard the oft-repeated public service announcement mantra, quote, "Remember, your mask protects me, and my mask protects you," unquote. Well, unfortunately, the science doesn't support that statement, but it is repeated often enough so that people will obey it without questioning. They obey out of fear and not wanting to be ostracized by other people in society, and that tends to spread. Now, society has never really been shut down like this before during any pandemic. Need I recall the Obama administration, which did little to nothing during the initial outbreaks of H1N1 and Ebola? The actual facts are there for anyone who wants to research it, but we know that H1N1 infected over 60 million Americans. Now, in April 2009, President Obama's Department of Health and Human Services declared it a health emergency, but it was not until October 2009, months later, that it was actually declared a national emergency. And this was 2 months after the WHO, World Health Organization, declared it a pandemic. And even then, there was no economic shutdown or forced wearing of masks, etc. None. Mr. Obama proved his ineptness with Ebola, yet had the audacity to recently criticize Trump's response to the pandemic. And this was after Dr. Fauci had stated that Trump did many things correctly and didn't really have a problem with the way he handled it. And he said that before Congress. So on this wonderful weekend, this past weekend, with enjoyable weather and the equally enjoyable company, I decided to sit off to one side for a bit and I simply observed. I saw one group of people after another eating and enjoying conversation, laughing, talking, and yes, even hugging. The things that God knows we need. Why do we need them? Because that's the way we were designed. Some folks went outside enjoying the children playing. I realized just how blessed we were to enjoy the fellowship with one another that the government had robbed us of for months and will try to continue to do so. We had taken fellowship and togetherness for granted and didn't know what we had until the government removed it and did so without passing one actual law. Policy is what they created. And here's the reality for me and other people who think like me. I have no idea when I will die, except that I know it will happen. I can guarantee you that most people now only think in terms of dying from coronavirus 19. They no longer think in terms of contracting the flu or some other virus. Gee, do those things even exist anymore? They no longer consider the possibility of having a fatal heart attack, or that they might get into their cars for the last time with the trip ending in tragedy before returning home. Folks now believe that the only real enemy is CV-19. That's the killer, the silent, invisible enemy. And if we can successfully avoid contracting it, we will live, right? Well, not so, says God. Remember the soul who decided to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy what he had earned throughout his life? Well, God interrupted him with the sober reality that on that particular day, his soul was required in death. Luke 12:20. But too many people walk around today, masked up, shrinking from life, trying solely to avoid death instead of living. Now, if you're in one of those groups that has a very, very high probability of contracting CV-19, then certainly take precautions. Do what you need to do. Unfortunately, it is not just simply that group. It is all of society. These people have stopped going to church, and they don't even bother to attend online. When they go out, they quickly get their errands done, ignore other people, and just as quickly retreat to the quote-unquote safety of their homes, wearing masks, alone in their cars, on the way, just to be sure. You know, I know people who live alone and constantly clean their homes with ammonia or some antibacterial spray. Why? They're alone. Why? You know, I'm not afraid to die. I'm really not afraid. What fear does the Christian have that is related to the afterlife? What fear should we have? Should we have any fear? There should be no fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18. Why would we want to live here on this earth forever anyway, since this is not where our real citizenship exists? Why would we not want to ultimately go be with our Lord and Savior, our family and friends who have gone on before? Why would we not want to be free of our sin nature that we have in this life and will have until the day of our death, the moment of our death? Certainly, we should patiently wait for that predetermined time when we will see Jesus face to face through our death. But our minds, as we are alive, should be on heavenly things, not earthly things. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Wow. That's the New King James Version, of course. But you get that? Set your mind on the things above. I'm not talking about throwing all caution to the wind, playing in traffic, and then being surprised when you get run over. I'm talking about living life so that we do not fear what lies ahead. And I guarantee death in whatever form is part of that future picture. We're not to fear. There's no need to fear. I will die of something at some point, and so will you. You cannot stop it. Neither can I. Well, certainly, again, taking precautions is absolute. It's fine and needed. It's what we should do. It's common sense. But why are the experts only talking about one aspect of coronavirus 19, how dangerous it is and what must be physically done to avoid it, with no guarantees, by the way? Social distancing, wearing masks, washing hands, etc., etc., etc. Why do they completely ignore the more proactive things we can do, like eating right, enjoying moderate exercise, and even supplementation with vitamins? And in 2010, I found this very interesting. Numerous clinical studies were done in Canada proving that an adequate level of vitamin D3 actually helps strengthen the immune system and stave off viruses and other illnesses. Here is a paragraph from that study that I've linked to in the article or the PDF transcript. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to many diseases and conditions in addition to bone diseases, including many types of cancer, several bacterial and viral infections, autoimmune diseases, cardiovascular diseases, and adverse pregnancy outcomes. It is estimated that the death rate could fall by 37,000 deaths, 22,300 to 52,300 deaths, representing 16.1% or 9.7% to 22.7%, depending on the number, of annual deaths, and the economic burden would be reduced by 6.9% or $14.4 billion, less the cost of the program. It is recommended that Canadian health policy leaders consider measures to increase serum 25-OHD levels for all Canadians. And again, that was in 2010. There are other studies that are even older. Now, the studies determined that a proper level of serum 25-hydroxyvitamin D, 25-OHD, protect it from a variety of viruses and other illness. You mean something this simple? Really? Well, apparently, but this information is not presented to the American public because the government spokespeople seem more interested in ginning up the fear as if there are no potential proactive remedies that might help keep people from contracting CV-19 or other viruses. I've never heard. Maybe I've missed it, but I've never heard Dr. Fauci or Dr. Birx or any other official government spokesperson talk about increasing vitamin D intake or other supplementation. We're only being told the negative. Wash your hands, mask up, social distance. Interesting to me that so many doctors on social networks who actually advocate vitamin D3 and other supplementation were unceremoniously suspended or banned from those social networks. Why? Why? When the facts remain that vitamin D can help, that other supplementation may help, that eating right certainly can help, exercising moderately, all these things can increase the immune response. You know, thinking back over this weekend, I recall how so tremendously blessed we all were, while at the same time, I felt a sense of loss for all the missed opportunities over the past year. The Lord has graciously blessed us with one another. Human beings were not meant to live in isolation, separate from each other, while living in proximity to one another. The fact that fear is the major building block to achieve this isolation throughout global society should tell us a great deal. Folks, we have blessings, and that blessings often come from our fellowship with others, especially within the Christian family. May the Lord help us to understand just what those blessings are. May He guide us to the truth. May He help us to gain and keep our health. May we set all fear aside, trusting in Him to lead us, to guide us, to carry us on to the day which we will be transported from this life to the next. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. We should be looking forward to that. Think of all the people we're going to see. Jesus above all else. The apostles, Moses, family, friends. There's so much that we have to look forward to. Anyway, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. And I pray that until we meet again, God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.